Welcome to Dreadful Digest, where we look at your favorite horror novels and rip apart their adaptations. I'm one of your hosts, Tessa Nelson.
And I'm another host, Sam.
And today we are doing something really exciting. We're going to be covering The Monkey, which is brand new in theaters. I'm so stoked.
You're stoked?
Jesus Christ.
I should not have highlighted that. I'm sorry.
Okay. This is great. Okay. We're doing this. Okay. I'm very excited because we're covering something brand new. We're going to be looking at The Monkey, directed by Osgood Perkins, and based off the Stephen King short story. So we have the monkey here.
The monkey.
We have him. He's here. I said I would get it. If you follow us on Instagram, you know I said I would get it, and he's here.
We have a lot of monkeys on set. If you're not watching the video, you're missing out. Sorry to say.
Yeah, watch the video. But Sam, had you heard of The Monkey prior to this?
What do you mean by this?
Like, before this movie was coming out in theaters, had you heard of it?
I had not. Well, I mean, I was vaguely aware of, I was vaguely aware of the imagery of a monkey.
Yes.
Like, the kind that, like, with...
any monkey.
I was familiar with the animal. Okay. No, but, like, the one with symbols, which is what's in the short story.
Yeah.
I was vaguely aware of horror connotation with that, but I didn't know it was a Stephen King thing. I didn't know it was part of a collection of other short stories.
They're just creepy in general, these monkeys.
Yeah, I just didn't really think that hard about it. I was just like, oh yeah, it's like the freaky little monkey thing. It's kind of like the Annabelle doll, where I was just like, oh, it's like a hero prop horror storytelling device, like where I didn't actually think about, you know, like creepy dolls and same thing with like creepy monkey trope. Like I just thought, yeah, just one of those.
Yeah.
But until I saw the marketing for this movie, I didn't know like the full connotation.
Yeah, I feel like the idea of the symbol monkey is just like, it's a creepy toy, whether you know of the short story or know of the movie at all. It's just like, It's not a toy that people want.
It's just like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like a, I mean, it's you can
creepy.
See him.
Yeah. Just look at him. Look at his eyes. He's horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had also never heard of The Monkey until I saw the trailer. I saw the little title that was like based on a Stephen King short story. And I was like, oh, we're going to have to cover this.
Yeah.
I was still excited though to cover it.
Yeah. If we are talking, can we talk about the marketing for a second?
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
Well, I just have to say, this is praise to the marketing team. There was one specific post that sticks out in my mind on their social media promotion for this movie. Did you see the post on Instagram where they were like, we sent a cut of The Monkey to all these networks, and the point was that it's so gory, you know, it's like, okay, like, you know, I get what they're going for, and it's like, that's a little silly bit, who knows if those emails are real, but I did think it was very funny to see all those emails that they had posted.
Definitely.
I thought that was a creative way to showcase the gore without showing the gore.
I really think that specifically with this movie and Long Legs, they're both Osgood Perkins films. The marketing is what really draws people in.
Yeah.
Like, whether or not you love his films or not, the marketing is great.
They've got a great marketing team over there.
I guess we should jump into our non-spoiler review. Mm. You can talk about the book, the movie, whatever you want to share.
Oh.
And maybe not a Reddit story this time.
LOL, watch the last episode. Every single time we have this question on the podcast, I don't prepare for it.
It's been like the fifth time, maybe.
We've done this like literally every episode, and every time I'm caught off guard. So I'd say my non-spoiler review is, isn't this in Toy Story?
We will get to that. There is some lore. Okay. It is related, actually.
Okay, so Toy Story gone wrong. That's my
Toy Story got it wrong.
Toy Story gone wrong.
Okay,
is my non-spoiler.
I like
review.
That.
Thank you. What's yours?
Okay, I will admit when I was about to read the short story, I opened it up. It's in Skeleton Crew. I turned to the page and I was just like, oh, I have to read another Stephen King.
What? Oh my God.
There was a...
why are you hating?
Because there was just a few minutes where I was just like, I'm back at it. We've done The Shining. We've done Misery. And I was like, we're doing more Stephen King. And I don't know why.
Well, we are a genre podcast.
I know. And Stephen King is everywhere. He has so many adaptations. I know. But I was just like...
But you felt your heart drop a little bit.
That's exactly how it felt. And I was like, it's only 56 pages. I can do
56?
This. It's pretty short.
I think the version I read was 34. What if I read the wrong version? No, I think that the pages are probably... Did you read a book?
Yes.
LOL me. So if you don't know what a book is...
that's what they do. Mm-hmm.
Again, that's a joke for our video watching listeners. But no, I read a PDF.
Okay, so that'll do it. Are longer. That'll do it. Yeah. I was super stoked going into this movie, but I will say, yeah, going into the short story, I was like, not again. Not again.
Not again, Steven.
I can't do it. But yeah, the movie is very fun, very tonally different from the short story, as we'll get into more, much more comedic. And there's a reason Osgood Perkins decided to go this route. And I think it benefits from going a comedic route instead of being too serious.
Oh, I agree.
Because, I mean, look at it. It's a killer monkey toy. Like, how serious can you make it?
Yeah.
So definitely see it in theaters. It's fun. Very different from Long Legs.
Actually, I didn't see Long Legs. I mean, I will.
You're good.
By the time this airs, I will have seen it.
Okay. And then you guys can all run to the comments and ask her how she thought.
Yeah,
and
please
she
do.
She will definitely please reply run to each comments. And everyone. But yeah, definitely watch the movie. The short story, we'll get into it. Speaking of, I'm doing the synopsis today.
Thank God.
Yes. I had to go back and like review the short story because it immediately left my brain. But yeah, I had to like look on Wikipedia to remember what happens. And even the Wikipedia was kind of wrong for the short story.
It was?
Yeah. They left out a lot of details. So I filled it in as best as I could.
That's great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do not use Wikipedia for your papers, kids.
Except I do it for the research. But we're not going to talk about that. So I'm going to be talking about the book synopsis specifically because I feel like less people are going to be familiar with it. So the Stephen King short story is part of an anthology called Skeleton Crew. It's one of the short stories, along with The Mist. The Mist is also in there.
What's The Mist? Are we going to do that one?
We are.
Is it in the schedule?
Not yet, but it's on our list of things to do. We will cover it, although there's...
Like, oh, yes, The Mist. I'm not familiar.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were
No, what
joking.
Movie is it? Is it called The Mist?
Yeah.
The movie's called The Mist, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've never heard of this. Okay, well, that'll be a fun episode for everyone.
Okay,
I'm going
wow.
to that one.
I am excited to see what you think of the ending, because it's notably the most crazy ending
really?
Ever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Alrighty, the monkey. Let's do it. So the short story follows Hal Shelburne, also in the film. And this guy, he's like haunted by this wind-up monkey toy.
Haunted is a great adjective.
I mean, I guess we don't know like the origin of this thing. Who knows? Alrighty, so we're following Hal Shelburne. He's our main character. And this guy has a traumatic childhood with this toy monkey. It brings death and misfortune all around him throughout his childhood. The story starts off with Hal's oldest son, Dennis, finding the monkey in a box while they're at Hal's aunt's and uncle's house.
Dennis
There's
is
a lot
like
of
a
characters
wild child.
I just listed. It's Dennis, right? I am
Dennis.
Correct.
Dennis and Petey. I was so confused. Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt your story, but not your story. The story that we're talking about.
I came up with
today.
It, yeah. I'm actually Stephen King.
Crazy what you said at the beginning to now Stephen King.
I hated rereading myself.
I was very confused by the first like two pages where I was like, Terry? That's his wife's Dennis?
Oh, yeah.
Hal? Who's who? It took me a while to understand that Hal was actually the protagonist. Yes, Dennis is his wild child smoking pot son.
Mm-hmm. He's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's important.
There's Hal, our main character. There's Dennis, his son, his oldest son. Petey, his younger son. Terry, his wife, that's not really that relevant. And then his aunt and uncle. So they're it's a lot already.
There are so many characters.
Yes.
And they all have normal, like, white American names. So it's like Dennis, Terry, Petey.
Yeah. Nothing that memorable except Hal. I feel like Hal's not
Bill, Will.
That popular. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're at his aunt and uncle's house because they just passed away. They're going through their stuff. And Dennis discovers a monkey toy in the attic. And Hal, like, freaks out. He just dread and anger hits him all of a sudden. And we get flashback scenes to his childhood. In these flashbacks, Hal remembers finding the monkey in his father's belongings in a storage closet. He and his brother Bill find this monkey and they start playing with it. But when they play with it, some bad things start to happen. Every time the cymbals clap, death will soon follow. Now, when they mess with it, it might not start like clanging its cymbals right away. It might
They think it's broken, right?
Yeah, sometimes they think it's broken.
They
and
put the key in and then it like and they're like,
that's
it's
yep.
not working. And then it decides to do whatever it wants.
Yeah. It has like a mind of its own where it might immediately start reacting or it might take months or years to like start going off and killing people. But if you put the key in and it clangs, then somebody dies. And it's usually somebody
you know.
Somebody you know, or even an animal, too. Animals have died from this thing.
Yeah. Something with a... multiple animals. Something with a relationship to you. You have... because presumably you find out about the death.
That is a difference to the film.
That is a difference.
But we will get into all the differences in a sec. Some of the deaths that the monkey causes include Hal's childhood best friend, Johnny, who dies from a treehouse.
Major bummer. That's the first one you learn about.
Yes. A lot of these deaths are not as crazy wild as the film.
The movie just goes to extreme lengths. Extremely fun lengths, but, you know, go on. Keep telling us about all the deaths.
Yeah, let's get into the deaths. The babysitter dies. Bill's friend also dies, too.
Drunk driver.
Yes, that's right. And eventually their mom dies, which is the reason that Hal and Bill end up moving in with their aunt and uncle. So at this point, Hal is, like, freaked out. He's like, this thing is cursed. And he throws it into a well, thinking... that's it. Never going to bother me again. Until it does bother him again. when he's an adult, that's when they find the monkey in the attic. Yeah, so somehow this monkey got out of the well and is in the attic, which Hal's son finds. So he's like freaking out. He's fearing for the safety of his family.
His less favorite son. Let's be clear.
Yes. Dennis is his less favorite.
He's not worried about Dennis. He's way more worried about his younger son, Petey, touching it.
He's much more fond of Petey, as we learn.
He doesn't like his son who smokes weed.
Yeah. He's a warning for like child abuse. Like he gets kind of physical with Dennis.
Like he threatens Dennis.
Yeah. And he like pushes him up against a wall.
Yeah.
So...
and then his wife is like, stop hitting my kid.
Yes.
And then he's like, I'm not hitting him.
Yeah.
It's a dramatic scene. The book is very dramatic.
It's much more, serious than the film, definitely.
Yeah. Dennis doesn't exist in the film.
Nope. Dennis is gone, just as Hal would like it.
Whoa. Go on.
But yeah, so fearing for the safety of his family, he is determined to destroy the toy. So while Dennis and Terry are out of the house, or they're staying in a hotel, Hal takes his younger son, Petey, to a lake that he and his uncle used to fish on when he was a kid. They go to the lake, called Crystal Lake, and they take this his uncle's fishing boat to the deepest part of the lake, and he chucks it into the water with like, it's in a, like a bag of rocks or something. But that's not the end of it, because as soon as he tries to go back to land, the waves start crashing, it starts destroying the boat. It's crazy. It destroys the boat. He ends up having to like swim the rest of the way there, but he manages to swim to the shore safely to Petey. And yeah, the story ends with like a little newspaper clipping basically. explaining how hundreds of fish in the lake have mysteriously died. And that's where we leave off the short story. Pretty simple. And the film is pretty faithful to it, I would say. It takes a lot of the...
yeah.
At least the first half. It takes the names and the premise and all that. But
I mean, yeah. I think the film has a lot of fun. Very clearly it has a lot of fun. But it also just has a lot of fun playing around with the different ways people can die. And I think like that's great. It doesn't really take on its own. It doesn't split off, I think, until we get introduced to Bill. Are we?
Definitely.
I don't know if we'll get into all that, but
yeah.
Well, yeah, of course.
We'll have to talk about Bill because he's much more prevalent in the film than he is in the short story. The short story, he's barely there.
Yeah, no. And it's great in the film.
Yeah. So,
in my opinion, I guess we'll see what your opinion is.
Yeah. I mean, they had to expand on it because the story is very simple. It's a very simple premise. And so, Perkins definitely needed to expand on it. But before we get into all the differences, let's jump into the research, shall we? Starting off with the novel, it was published in 1980 by Stephen King, and it was originally in the pages of an adult magazine called Gallery. Yeah.
Scandal. That really?
That's crazy.
All right.
Before it was in Skeleton Crew, it was in an adult magazine, and it essentially gave subscribers something to read amongst the pictures of nude women.
That's
can you imagine reading this? Yeah, so. I think the version he ended up publishing was... Oh, yeah, it says here. The story was later significantly revised and included in the short story collection. So who knows what the original version was like. This short story was also nominated for a British Fantasy Award in 1982. Don't know the importance of that, but
I guess that
congrats,
leads into the magic of the monkey. Because, like, I feel like...
It is a very fantastical story.
Yeah, I guess. I just also, like, thought it was a clear... metaphor, I guess.
I could see the metaphor in
the movie. I think they like punched it, you know what? Yes. I mean, like, I think in the book they kind of like dance at it. Mm-hmm. Although I think it's slightly different in the book than it is in the movie. I think it exists.
Do you want to dive into that now, or now? Do you want to wait?
Sure. I mean, in the movie, like, they're like, death is inevitable, like,
yeah,
like, you learn to live with the monkey. At the end, they keep the monkey, right?
Yes. The different, yeah, they're the, like, are very different.
You learn to accept your grief and not run from it. And I felt like in the book, similarly, like, okay, yes, eventually they get into the fantastical elements of, like, oh, the monkey can teleport, like, you know, whatever. But I thought it was just a thing for a kid who doesn't understand grief to assign that to, like, blame the monkey that is obviously inconsequential and all this death that's happening around him.
Yeah.
Just say, like, oh, like... It's the monkey, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. For like, the film, I kind of also took it as, like, the monkey representing childhood trauma that, like, stays with you throughout your life, essentially.
Right. Yeah, like, you cannot get rid of it, but... Yeah. Yeah, but it's also, but, like, pretty simple metaphor. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Interestingly enough, there was another adaptation of this book, but in 2022... This was produced under King's Dollar Baby contract. Are you familiar with that?
No.
So essentially, students and young creatives could buy the rights to King's work for only $1.
What?
Yeah. So this student short film exists.
Does he still do that? Hello?
No, it ended in 2023. We just missed it.
Are you kidding?
I know. Whatever. But yeah, there's a trailer on YouTube, but I don't know if it was ever, like, fully made. I couldn't find it.
Is it a student film?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, man. We gotta see that.
I know. They use, like, the actual, like, symbol monkey, too.
Okay, so, yeah.
Anyway, really cool that exists. Like, I wish it still did. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I have for the short story. There's a lot more for the movie.
Yay.
So let's get into it. Obviously, this movie came out in 2025. Written and directed by Osgood Perkins and produced by James Wan of Atomic Monster. I almost said Atomic Monkey. Because I was, like, thinking of Monkey.
Atomic. Well, you know, I was sitting there in the theater and I was like, I know this isn't a Monkey Paw production, obviously, but, like, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, you would think, right? Like... It, yeah,
like, no, because that doesn't have to do, you, like, I know that it wouldn't, but also
it would be kind of fun, though.
Like, I just feel like you'd think based on, no, you wouldn't, though. I don't know. Anyway,
I just combined the two companies in my head. They're not the same. But yeah, so Osgood.
That was a good one.
Jesus Christ. So Osgood Perkins has some previous directing credits, including The Black Coat's Daughter, I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House, Gretel and Hansel, and, of course, Long Legs, which came out last year.
He also didn't appear out of nowhere.
Hmm?
He's also familiar with the scene.
Yes, I was just about to get into his history. He is the son of actors Anthony Perkins and Barry Berenson. Anthony Perkins, of course, played Norman Bates in Psycho, one of my favorite horror movies and books. I'm so excited to talk about that in the future. His father died tragically of AIDS, which this is relevant. I will get into it. And his mother died in the 9/11 attacks. She was, like, in the plane.
Wait, are we talking about Osgood right now?
Yeah, his mom.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah. Sorry, I thought we were talking about his dad for a second. I was like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
His dad died of AIDS in the 9/11 attacks.
No, that's why I was confused. Okay, got it. So we're talking about Osgood's parents.
This is relevant to... Yeah, this is relevant to why he wanted to do the monkey is because, you know, throughout his childhood, he was like, this isn't fair. Like, why me? Because these are horrible things to go through.
Like childhood grief. Like, yes. You're just talking about. Okay, got it.
And him kind of dealing with the fact that, like, death happens and there is no, like, it's not targeted, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. It just happens randomly. And so that is why he kind of took a more comedic route with this film instead of being super serious. So I'm kind of like,
yeah. Well, I think dealing it's with it. Strategic too. I can't imagine how audiences would, I mean, maybe in the right hands it could be done, but I can't imagine how audiences, like modern audiences, would react to a killer toy monkey in a serious tone.
You would have to do a totally different story if you wanted to go more serious.
Yeah.
You couldn't even involve a monkey, I don't think.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean, somehow King makes it work by doing a more serious tone with his short story. It's still having a creepy monkey at the center of it, but Perkins didn't.
You can
go
do that when you take on the POV of a child.
Yes.
You can't do that in a movie, though.
Yeah, I think it definitely works as a short story that way, but
yeah.
A visual medium, I think people would just kind of laugh at and make fun of it. So he's kind of in on the joke.
Yeah.
So speaking of this, Perkins stated an empire that, quote, they, Atomic Monster,
shout out,
had a very serious script. Very serious. Hmm. I felt it was too serious, and I told them, quote, this doesn't work for me. The thing with this toy monkey is that the people around it all die in insane ways. So I thought, well, I'm an expert on that. Both of my parents died in insane headline-making ways, end quote. And speaking of why he wanted to go more comedic, Perkins said that it was important to him from the start that the film should have a comedic edge to it. He didn't want it to be, quote, dreadfully somber. It was going to be more comedic and cozy, which I think seemed correct for a movie about a toy. I wanted to steer away from the more serious movies about possessed toys, which don't ring true for me. I agree with that sentiment because I love the Chucky films. Mm. And if they tried to make that serious, it would just, I would lose interest in it for sure. Like the Annabelle movies don't do anything for me. I know there's some other killer doll like movies out there.
Yeah, but Annabelle's the queen.
Is she?
Megan.
Okay.
That's another comedic one, though. I'd love to cover that one.
They need it. Yeah. Make a book, Blumhouse.
Please release a book so we can cover Megan.
You wanted to know how Toy Story related to this?
Yeah, I don't know why I pulled that out of the depths of my memory. I was like, this is in Toy Story.
It is.
Is it in Toy Story 1?
3.
That's what I was going to say. It's in Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
Because it's with Barbie. Mm-hmm. It's not with Barbie, but it's in the same movie as Barbie and Ken.
He's
in
like,
the closet scene.
I can envision him in front of a like security camera. I thought he was watching.
Right, he's one of the evil toys.
He's one of the evil toys.
Because there's a League of Evil Toys in Toy Story 3. Yes, okay.
Okay, so the reason that this monkey has to use drums in the film is because, instead of cymbals like in the short story, is because according to the producer, quote, Disney owns the cymbals because of the toy monkey in Toy Story.
No way.
Specifically Toy Story 3.
That is so funny.
Yeah. Which like, how do they own the copyright of that? Like, how do you own the copyright?
Isn't
Did they have
toy?
To buy it?
Wait, but who manufactures
exactly.
this?
Who?
Internet sleuths. Who manufactures actual toy monkeys?
Yeah, I feel like that's just a generic thing. Like, does somebody own the copyright, and did Disney have to then buy the copyright from them? I don't know how
the
legal
drum
stuff
is
works.
Creative, though, because
the drum's
it's because
fun.
It's similar in nature to cymbals. It's like, you know, at one point in the book they mentioned like, oh, maybe you can stuff the cymbals so it doesn't. Because in the book, every time it, you know, hits the cymbal, it, sorry, honey. Every time it hits the cymbal, that's when somebody dies. And so his son, his favorite son, Petey, is like, what if we put like cotton in it?
Yes. That was
and
a fun little
And you could still do
detail.
That with the drum. It's like, I feel like a pretty solid adaptation of that idea.
Definitely. I can't think of any other instrument that could have gone with
it. No, yes. I literally.
This is it.
It has to be, well, I guess percussion. I guess anything percussion.
Yeah.
It could be a xylophone and it's not.
Yeah, that's true. So director Frank Darabont originally held the film rights to this short story, which
Wait,
he
who? Sorry.
Frank Darabont. I'm hoping I say
sorry.
he did The Mist. He did The Mist, which
oh,
we'll
copy.
Cover.
Okay.
So he originally held the film rights to the short story and planned to begin working on it after completing The Mist. But obviously that didn't happen.
Bummer.
Yeah. Another fun tidbit is that the trailer reached 100 million views in 72 hours, making it the most watched independent horror film trailer ever.
Wow.
That's crazy to me. I would not expect that from this.
Well, I think it's because Neon is a pretty big powerhouse for indie distribution.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't, if this was with somebody else, I don't know that they would have to punch.
Is A24 still considered independent?
I think by definition, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I feel, yeah.
No,
A24
yeah,
and Neon are, like,
is.
The top, for sure.
So yeah, that although, make sense. Although A24 is, like, significantly more profitable. Mm. Or I don't know about profit. That's the wrong metric, but it's bigger. It's has way bigger box office than Neon does.
Yeah. Which I like Neon, a lot of Neon films. So I hope that changes.
I believe it could. And I mean, for all our listeners out there, I did my master's thesis on Neon. So I happen to be familiar with this one. The only exception to this is Neon really took over in 2020. If you recall, because a lot of movies weren't able to come out in 2020 or they were postponed because of the pandemic, but also, you know what else came out and won a lot of awards in 2020?
Parasite. Oh,
yes.
That's a Neon
and then,
film?
Yes. And then, yes, oh. Very much so. And then right after that is when the pandemic hit. And so they really had a good time, at least in comparison, I think, to a lot of other movies that were coming out that year.
Yeah. They quickly become a studio that's known for their bangers, for sure.
Well,
like,
as a distributor, I think.
Yeah.
Because they're just now getting into production.
Right. Okay. So they would buy films and then, okay.
And I'm seated. I will be watching. I mean, Cuckoo was...
was okay.
Whoa.
Sorry. I thought that's where you were going with that.
No, that was one of their productions. That was a co-production with Wayfair. Or not Wayfair. That's so wrong. Oh my gosh, sorry. I've been listening to the Justin Baldoni, Blake Lively stuff. Wayfair is a different place. I forget who their co-producers are. Sorry. Should we not get into that?
The Justin Baldoni stuff?
The Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni lawsuit.
Probably not.
I'm hoping that by the time this episode comes out that it is still, in fact, in the news and not...
It will be. We are relevant. We are a relevant podcast. Although it is funny that you talked about Colleen Hoover in our first episode and then...
I was thinking about that. Yeah. I was literally it's crazy that I was Colleen Hoover, what do you think, queen? That's not what I said. But
she did not say queen. Let's clarify that.
What did I was like, oh, I was like, I wonder if Colleen Hoover feels like that guy in Misery.
Yeah. That was such an interesting... I loved that conversation. That was so...
And I bet she does right now.
And it does relate, as we'll get into the film. Yeah. One of the characters is named after Annie Wilkes, which I was like, that's a fun little... It's not even a little shout. It's a big
shout. I didn't even catch it. I'm surprised. I literally don't remember this.
Yeah.
I believe you, though.
Yeah, it's the babysitter. They call her Babysitter Annie, but then at the funeral, they call her Annie Wilkes.
Annie Wilkes.
Yeah. So... So yeah, that is all my research. Yeah, short and quick. Like I mentioned before, tonally very different. This film is a comedy, a dark comedy, and the short story is much more serious, a family drama, I feel like. And so yeah, going into it, just know that it is not like the short story. But they do, interestingly enough, both deal with the pressures of being a father. Both versions of Hal deal with that.
I felt like masculinity was a big theme in both. I was surprised by that.
I feel like I felt that from the short story, but not as much as in the film.
I agree with you. I feel like it is a lot more palpable in the short story, but I was surprised at all that it, I just didn't expect that to be such a focus. But I feel like
it is a staple of the Stephen King stuff we've kind of
Boyhood
went into.
Yeah.
Especially The Shining. That's all that story's about.
It. Right? The boys and it. There's the four boys.
I was thinking of the idea of being scared to be a father is in The Shining and this.
I was thinking more about I guess coming of age as a young boy.
Okay.
And the relationship you have with your father.
Yeah, that's still relevant. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the short story takes on the POV of Hal as a kid and as a father.
Yes.
Well, as does the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So while the short story, jumps back and forth between Hal as an adult and a child. The film, it gets all of the kid stuff out of the way. We basically start with him
as a kid.
There's
a 25-year time jump.
Yeah, and then we jump to him as an adult, and that's the main focus for the rest of the film. But speaking of the beginning, we have an entirely new scene that's not in the short story but was added for the film, which is Hal's father...
Oh, yeah.
Trying to sell this monkey to a pawn shop.
What's his name? Adam.
What?
Adam Scott? No. What's his name?
Oh.
Awful. Emerson, what's his name? Adam. Do you know who I'm talking about? Parks and Rec.
Yes.
And Severance. Famously. He crushes it. I loved seeing him. I did not expect to see him in this movie.
I know. I was surprised by him.
And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He's great.
A lot of famous actors.
Adam Scott. I got it right. Adam Scott. Oh my God. Okay. He's the perfect casting to set the tone for that. Him with a flamethrower. Anyway.
That was so random. Yes. So basically, the opening starts with Hal's father named P.D. Shelbourne. He's a pilot and he's going to this pawn shop to sell the toy. And the pawn shop owner does not want it back. And yeah, then the monkey starts going off. And then the pawn shop owner dies in a crazy way.
I think, yeah, are you going to get into it? Because
you want to get into, you can get into it.
Well, I mean, if you know Atomic Monster's logo, it's, which you should, it's like a, it's the suit. And
yes.
The guy holding the thing.
Oh,
and so they have, yes. And so in the movie, I mean, okay, actually I'm speculating. Like, I hope this is not misinformation on the internet, but they have one of those suits in the pawn shop and he's holding, like a harpoon gun thing. Mm-hmm. And the wire gets tripped randomly and it shoots the pawn shop owner through his stomach. And then it gets tripped again and it pulls it back out and it pulls all of his intestines
crazy.
Out.
Crazy. I was not expecting
that.
Oh,
it set the tone so quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
So obviously Petey is a bit freaked and he takes a flamethrower.
Wait, Petey?
That's his, yeah.
Did you say this already? I just put that together.
Yeah. So the son is named after
Father. Right. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's not a thing though in the
They world. Don't. They don't really dive into the father that much. They don't really give much backstory besides he traveled a lot in the short story. Somehow this pawn shop has a flamethrower and he burns
Why
the monkey.
It? Why wouldn't it?
Anyway, so he burns the monkey. It's
yeah,
like,
with a flamethrower, its skin is melting off.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's not going to keep a monkey down forever.
Not our friend, no.
Basically, Hal... and his brother come across this monkey in both versions, but in the film, they find it in their dad's closet with a bunch of his things. Their dad left them, by the way. their dad left. That's not something to laugh about. Their dad left them.
I want to reenact this with our dolls.
And so enjoy them. If you're watching the video version,
you
see a little Munchichi collection.
Munchichi.
So Hal and Bill, they're twins. They're looking through their father's things, and they come across the monkey, in their dad's closet. But in the short story, it's like in this weird underground compartment, and
uncover it. Sorry. Well, I'm reenacting.
It's like
the
this
plot.
Thing they go under the floor, and there's all this like junk from their father.
Yeah.
And then they find it. So one of those, I was thinking, it reminded me of in The Shining when we were talking about the ring. We're like, what does this even mean? What is visually, what does this mean? Do houses have this, like underground?
Right.
Because it's not like a basement. It was something that they could squeeze under.
Where does this take place in the short story? Isn't this something we were talking about earlier?
This was at their mom and dad's house.
Yes,
this is before they move.
Because I feel like that matters. Like in terms of like house architecture.
Oh, yes, like because in the film, they're moving to Maine, but that's all we know about location.
I don't know. Anyway, so they find the monkey.
Yes, they find the monkey, and they start messing around with it.
Oh!
What in the world?
Sorry. They were messing around with it.
And because they're messing around with it, the symbols go crazy, and their babysitter, Wayla... She has a different name.
Two boys. I can't believe I didn't even see these guys.
What? Which one? Well, that's a girl.
Well.
They're both girls.
Low key, though, this is the child one of this.
See, now, wait, which one are you talking about? Which one's the
mom?
Like,
this is the, this is great content for our audio listeners. This is the child of this. Or, like, this
yes.
is, so we're going to make this one. This one is Hal. This is boy, adult. This one is
we have
Bill.
A boy monkey here.
No, that's the babysitter.
Got it.
This is Bill and Bill. So, but we're gonna have them be kids right now.
I'm just gonna, yeah. You're gonna
find the monkey. They're messing around with it.
Yes, and
messing around
with because it. They're messing around with it. Their babysitter gets killed. And it's different in the film version. In the film, obviously her name is different. It's Annie Wilkes instead of Buela. And in the film, she dies at a restaurant She gets decapitated. It's crazy.
It's so cool. She's at one of those restaurants where they cook it in front of you.
Yeah, very fun.
very fun until it isn't.
Until
when
it
isn't.
They
decapitate her, and she's looking at who's she looking at? She's looking at Hal as her head slides off.
Yeah,
and onto the grill,
and then it starts sizzling.
It's sizzling. It's cooking.
Crazy. It's crazy.
They were cooking.
But the babysitter in the short story, she dies because her friend's boyfriend shoots them.
Correct. Over Chinese food.
I feel like having a shootout in an apartment is probably not as fun visually.
No.
But yeah, it's the deaths in the short story are much more realistic and tragic than what we see in the film.
Well, and this speaks to my whole thing about, like, it's just a boy coping with death. Because, like,
I like that read of it.
You know, like, your babysitter gets shot.
Yeah.
That could happen. That's probably happened to people.
Yeah. Maybe not over Chinese food, but you never know.
Certainly not. Well, that's true. but, you know, it makes sense. It's like, oh, of course. He's like, it's because of the monkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, babysitter's dead. Gone.
Bummer.
Die in different ways.
Yeah.
Hal and Bill are actually not twins in the short story, right?
Right. Bill is older.
Older, yes.
Because Bill used to babysit Hal.
That's right, yeah.
As soon as the babysitter died, Bill became the babysitter.
Right. But he did not die.
He did not.
But yeah, in the film, they're both twins and they hate each other. They despise each other. They both want each other dead.
Which is funny because they had it within their means.
They, you know, you don't need to, like, bring a monkey into this. You know?
Are you suggesting they should have killed each other?
I'm saying maybe don't kill a bunch of innocent people if you have beef with each other.
They should have just fought it out.
Don't kill. Don't kill.
Official message from Dreadful Digest.
Don't kill anybody.
Please don't.
Please. But yeah, in the short story, they're chill with each other. Bill isn't really that involved, to be honest. He shows up, like, at the beginning, and he's like, hey, our aunt and uncle are dead. Can you help me? Yeah. Can you help me out?
Going through their belongings.
Yeah. Can you help me go through the belongings? We're here for the funeral. What's up, brother? And then...
What's up, brother? In the movie, however, Bill...
He sucks.
He's
crazy.
He's fiery. He's quite literally.
Gross mullet.
You don't like a mullet?
I don't like it on Theo James, no. Can't say that I do.
I had a great time seeing him come out in his weird little child suit.
That was fun. That was a fun fit.
Major spoiler.
Very.
Arguably the biggest spoiler we've given so far.
Yeah. And Bill also, in the short story, has no idea about the monkey's power. It's only Hal's burden, basically.
Right. Again, leans into my theory that this is just the one POV of a child interpreting death.
I like
it's
that.
It's not like, it's that not makes sense a magical to me. Monkey.
Yeah. So, at this point, right, babysitter's dead.
Bummer.
It sucks. Bummer. Hal is, like, trying to get rid of the monkey. In the film, he chops it up. Like, he literally cuts off its limbs. There's, like, blood coming out of it.
Coming out of it.
Yeah. But that does not happen in the short story at all. That's,
no.
That was added for the film. Should we talk about how the mom dies? I want to go into that.
I've almost got it. Yes, let's talk about the mom
dies. So the mom dies differently. She dies by the same reason in both, but it's slightly different. In the short story, she dies at work.
Oh, yes.
Via an aneurysm. At least that's what the doctors claim. But in the film, she dies right in front of Bill, like in their family kitchen.
Quite literally villain it's origin story.
Crazy. Yeah. So it leads to his character development. And it's insane. Because in the short story, like, the kid can't visualize what happens because he wasn't there. But
he speculates
what happens.
Like, I know what happened. That monkey was in that water thing. And no, yeah. No.
No, the monkey was at home, but he heard it go off, and then the mom died.
But he, like, visualizes that the monkey was, like, in the water thing.
Yeah, the water thing that's in every office.
The water cooler?
Water cooler?
Yeah.
Why'd you say water thing?
Oh, I didn't even realize. Yeah, the water thing that's in the water cooler. The water cooler that's in the hospital. Wait, what?
She's not in the...
No, I'm confusing my books.
Oh my god.
This is a mess.
This is a nightmare. Oh.
Let's back up. So she has a brain aneurysm. And no, because what I'm thinking of is when the water cooler tips over.
Yeah, and that crushes her. Right?
I think the glass breaks.
Yeah. Because they use glass instead of plastic.
That, and that tripped me up because I was like, what do you mean the glass broke?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
So the glass kills her. But in the short story, or in the film, she just starts like bleeding out of her face,
eyes and her
ears.
Mouth while she's making devil's food cake. Devil's food cake.
He is the devil.
Devil theory.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Demon theory.
This is so silly. Another difference is that Uncle Will from the short story was renamed Uncle Chip.
Which is for the best. Because
it is. Yeah.
When I was reading, this upset me that Stephen King named a character Bill and then his uncle is Will. Excuse me?
Yeah.
That's the same name. Why can't we have different
names? But he was named after him.
He was named after his uncle.
Maybe. I haven't heard of that
actually
being a thing.
not realistic.
No.
I don't know. That could be a thing. But I think
being
that
Chip is
it made it confusing
realistic.
For me, a speed reader, when I was like, Bill, Will. And I was like, what?
Too
also,
many characters.
I have an uncle, shout out to my uncle, who changes his name every few years. I think. He did
Wait,
once.
What?
Yeah. So I have an aunt and uncle named, right now they're named Will and Kate. But a few years ago, they were
like
Bill
the
and
show.
Kathy. Like the show, like the royal couple.
Will and oh,
what do you mean the show?
I don't know what I'm thinking of.
No, you're thinking of Will and Grace.
Yeah.
No, so my aunt and uncle, they're named Will and Kate. Shout out Will and
Kate plus eight. That's what I was thinking about.
That's what you were thinking about.
Just continue with your story.
And,
too many names.
But a few years ago, they were Bill and Kathy, and so I'm like, that's the same person. You know what I'm saying? It's the same name.
Yeah.
So why did he do that?
Why did your uncle change his name?
Why? What do you mean?
Why would he do that?
Why not? I've thought about reinventing myself because like my full name is Samantha and it's like, obviously, because my name is Sam. So obviously my name is Samantha. But like, what if I changed that? Like, what if I was, first of all, Sammy, that's a pretty normal one.
I like Sam better.
No, I know. For me specifically, okay. Sammy's weird.
Yeah.
I would never do that. Mantha.
Mm-mm. No. Bad.
Or going by my middle name. But like, you know, all that to say, I didn't like Uncle Will, and I'm happy we changed it to Uncle Chip.
Okay. That's your hot take.
That's my thesis.
Okay. Yeah, so different name. Uncle Chip was played by Oscar Perkins, by the way. Fun little cameo. He's barely in it.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm, that's him.
That's funny.
Yeah. He also dies. Differently.
Yeah.
So in the short story, he kind of, it's like hinted at that maybe he might have died through via the monkey's powers, but we don't know how he dies, right? Uncle Chip dies through the monkey's powers in this film after Bill turns the key. We don't really know how. It does this like quick cut to like his funeral picture, and it's pretty funny.
Beat.
It's a little fun.
It's a good joke.
But in the short story, we don't know how they die, like how Uncle Will and Aunt Ida die. That's not explained.
It's speculated, but not answered.
Yes, yeah. In both versions, after their aunt and uncle die, that leads Bill and Hal to like reconnect, essentially to like.
Yes,
they meet. Well,
but
it's different
in the movie. Bill kind of strings him along, and he like calls him. And like they're estranged in the movie explicitly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hal has a lot of shame, I think, about the death that he's experienced, whereas Bill basically steps into it as a form of power that he yields, that he has the ability to control life and death via the monkey.
Yeah.
Because the person who turns the key is never killed, according to him.
That is the biggest twist. That's how the film really deviates from the short story, is they make Bill more of a character and he's like utilizing the monkey.
Yeah, he's using it to enact revenge.
Yes, because he blames Hal for killing
his mom.
Yeah.
Which is different, obviously, in the book, because in the book, like, Bill forgets the monkey is even a thing.
Yeah.
Even when it's on his, because I remember, because when the mom dies, the monkey disappears from the shelf and Hal notices, but Bill doesn't even notice that the monkey disappears.
Okay, yeah.
That's like a thing.
Bill and Hal in the short story go to their aunt and uncle's house to Well, Hal is more like going through the attic and sorting things. Bill, I don't know. He's there for the funeral. He's there. He exists. And so, like I mentioned earlier, when Hal's in the attic, going through their things, Danny's son finds the monkey. But in the film, it's like lost. Bill is trying to find this monkey.
Trying to find the monkey. Oh, but similarly to the short story, we find out in the film, this is a little out of order. Sorry.
Yeah, we're going all out of order.
But Bill, in his quest to find the monkey, goes back down the well. He travels down there and all he finds is the key. So he's like, that monkey, it teleported. But I have this key. You'll tell me back when you're ready for me, basically. He like thinks he's kin. And that is the same, though. They do throw that down a well.
Yes.
And then it reappears somewhere else.
And I think, if I remember right, in the short story, the well has, like, been dried up. And Hal doesn't see anything down there. And he's like, what the heck? Where'd the monkey go? Like we mentioned, another big difference is that in the film, Hal only has one son named Petey. But in the short story, he has two, Dennis and Petey. In both versions, he's struggling to bond with his son. But in the film, Hal is single and he's estranged to his only son.
And also, Petey's way older in the movie, I think, than
Petey's
he is in the book.
Way older.
In the book, Petey is like 9 or something.
Yes, he's young. He still has that like innocence about him, while Dennis is older and experimenting with drugs and stuff, and Hal doesn't know how to deal with it. This is where things kind of get tricky, because so far, you know, the film has kind of followed the short story a bit, but this is where it deviates. So in a twist, Bill is trying to get access to this monkey to kill Hal.
To avenge his mother's death that he had to bear witness to.
Yes, exactly. And he ends up buying it off a local kid named Ricky, who finds it at Ida's yard sale.
Who I thought was influenced by Dennis, honestly. I thought that the whole, like, caricature of Ricky being like obviously a little alt based on his hair, kind of seems deadbeat-esque. I thought that was supposed to be like, if we enhanced Dennis, like that the role of that character in the story, and then kind of moved it around a little bit, then it becomes Ricky,
perhaps.
That's my fan theory.
I mean, I love the actor. He was also in Halloween Ends.
I was trying to figure out what's his name,
something Campbell. But I wasn't quite sure, like, what the full point of his character.
I remember this guy. I remember him from Halloween Ends.
Yeah. My favorite part of Halloween Ends. Rohan Campbell?
Yes.
Okay. So I didn't quite get the point of his character. Like, he shows up to the yard sale. He buys the monkey, and it starts giving him, like, images of his dad. It's reminding him of his dad, which is why he kind of grows fond of the monkey. But we don't see that happen with Hal or Bill having this, like,
interesting. Well, it does, again, yet another thing that leans into this whole theory of fatherhood being a core tenet of that piece. That is interesting, because in my head I saw him and I was like, oh, that's how they had decided to reimagine Dennis, and that's literally just what I thought. I did not character depth, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Because, he also, just like Bill and Hal, he relates to them in the fact that his dad also left them, or left him. He was a cop, which is why he has, like...
Right.
I don't know. It seems almost like these bits and pieces were added to his character simply for the ending. Like, that was, you know, like, having the cop apparel, having the weapon, it seemed like that was just added so that he could utilize those tools later on.
Huh. Because they are essential.
Yes.
But just to argue with you, his death is probably the most insane thing in the movie, I think.
No, I really like the death. I'm just like, why? It also seemed like his reasoning for existing, or jumping to the end a bit, was to get Hal and Petey to Bill's place. And that was kind of his whole purpose.
I see what you're saying, because he definitely drives them there. And yes. I will say, when I was watching, I was surprised that's what he did. Because in my head, I was like, how did he know where they were?
Yeah.
How did he know who was Bill's brother? But we don't really know the relationship between Ricky. That's the actor's name.
Ricky is the character.
Rohan is the actor's name.
Yeah.
We don't really know the relationship between Ricky and Bill, except for the fact that Bill hired Ricky. So there is the chance that he gave him a little bit more context and that he would know who his identical twin brother, also played by Theo James, is. Giving it the benefit of the doubt. However, I see what you're saying, that if that wasn't there, what would get them from the motel directly into Bill's hands?
I mean, all they really needed was, I mean, Bill calls them and says, you need to bring Petey, which we'll get into my problems with that anyway, later. But like, he calls him, he's like, bring Petey to me for some reason. That's all you needed. I don't think you needed Ricky. He didn't seem like that important of a character. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, so then in your world, we would have just found the monkey in the attic or in the basement or whatever in the same way we do in the short story?
In my world, the ending would be slightly different, where Hal and Petey go to Bill's place and kind of trick him into thinking that they're going along with his plan, and then...
So you'd be okay with Ricky existing and finding the monkey at the estate sale, but not in the way that he aids the ending?
Yes. I think he'd be fine for that sole purpose, and then maybe he dies a tragic death or something.
Well, he does die a tragic death. Is an interesting word for it. I guess it is tragic. It's also shocking.
Grotesque. Yeah.
It's, I just think the worst thing that can happen to somebody, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
A
lot of the stuff that happens at the end, I am questioning, like, but I guess we'll get into it in a bit.
I was surprised that none of the bees stung Theo James.
Well, because he wasn't the target.
They can do that?
I think that the death comes after one person.
No, I get that, but the bees?
They're being manipulated by the monkey's powers.
So you believe in the monkey's powers?
In the film, yes. In the short story, I think you can interpret it like how you were saying. Okay. I like that.
Okay, so the magical monkey is like, kill, and then it sends the bees.
Yeah. I mean, Bro can control living things. He can control inanimate objects.
So why do you think the monkey never selects? Because I always felt like in the short story, like, its victims are kind of random. Like, it's all related, yes, but it's not like he's like, kill the babysitter and the babysitter dies. Whereas, and in the movie, they're like trying to target specific people. Why does the monkey never actually kill Hal? There's no reason not to kill Hal in the movie.
Me and disembodied voice were kind of...
Oh, were you talking about this?
We were talking about it a little bit in the car. Where we think like the monkey kind of stands Hal a little bit, right? Was that your theory?
I have a new theory now that I've been listening to you talk. I think maybe he accepts like how his mom and like the two of them were like sitting there. After, I think he might accept death, like how she said, where it's like an accident where he didn't.
Bill can't accept it. Yeah.
That is so interesting. But I mean, because there is very clear visual cues in the movie for that, like turning one way to the other. And like.
And how, like, at the end, the Pale Rider was there and he gave him, like, a little nod because he's like, oh, we're chill.
Yeah. And also, like, Bill literally at their mom's
That's
funeral.
That's a really good interpretation of it. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, I like that.
I hope that was picked. I'm sure that wasn't picked up.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's just going to be silent and us being like, yeah.
I think it does. I think it would.
I hope so.
But essentially, like, the biggest scene that supports that is at the mom's funeral, where Bill literally stands up and he's like, Mom, wake up. Like,
yeah, he does not accept
it. He can't accept her death. And I think Hal is much more, he understands it more. He got the lesson the mom was trying to teach, like, death is random. And it happens to everyone.
Yeah.
And Bill just can't process it.
Right.
So I liked that theory. That wasn't a question I had of like why the monkey wasn't going after Hal. I just was like, you know what? The monkey vibes with Hal, maybe. I don't know.
No, I actually think you nailed it. Yeah. I think that's what the movie's about.
Yeah.
I think that I didn't think of that until we just talked about that. But I think that it's clear. It's cinematic. It's like, this is the consequence if you go down this route. This is the consequence if you don't take the lesson, et cetera, et cetera. It's clearly manifested in two characters, both played by Theo James.
Yes, very, very different takes. Like, I loved nerdy looking Theo James.
Oh, I feel the opposite. I liked him in the child suit with the mullet. That was sick.
So, is that your type? Music?
That no, on record, no. But the music when he was being all like, that was sick.
I haven't seen him since Divergent, and I will say like. He was really fun in this movie.
I still
movie.
Don't know how you didn't watch White Lotus season 2.
I'm sorry.
You're missing out.
I am. I want to watch it.
Well, Anyway, let's get back on track for our
let's
listeners.
Let's talk about the monkey. So in the film, we're going kind of backwards. Bill has Hal go to Aunt Ida's estate alone to deal with all her stuff. Which, interesting, why would they have an estate sale before any family member got... Like, that's not realistic.
Well... Wouldn't Bill have been in contact? Because Bill is the one who...
But if that's the case, he would have been like, hey, keep the monkey. You can get rid of everything else. Keep the monkey. Keep the monkey.
Keep that monkey.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why someone would take over the estate without a family member involved. Whatever. So Hal is in the film, has to go to the estate alone. Unlike in the short story where they kind of... That's when they kind of come together a little bit for the funeral. Yeah. So in the film, Hal takes Petey to Aunt Ida's house and kind of explains through that, like, how the monkey is essentially killing all these people. So In that sense, it is similar because Hal takes Petey to the lake in the short story and explains, like, how this monkey works.
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, no, but in the short story, Petey actually has a feeling. I think this is one of the bonding factors between Hal and this son, not Dennis, is the fact that Petey is disturbed in advance by the monkey. Mm-hmm. And that's why
Hal feels weird about it.
Yeah, that's why Hal trusts him and lets him help him dispose of it.
Yeah. Dennis doesn't really care about the monkey. And I feel like in that regard, he's similar to Bill in the short story. He's like, whatever about it.
Yeah, they kind of disperse the qualities. Because Dennis is important, I think, in the short story. There's scenes with Dennis talking.
That's true. Well, like, he's there essentially to show that that Hal has issues with being a father.
Exactly.
Like, this is new to him.
He only relates to Petey because he relates to Petey, and so he's the only one he falls in love with. But I think it literally says in the book that he's like that Dennis is like a darkness that he doesn't understand.
Yeah, and it's like his darkness.
Exactly.
That he doesn't want to come face to face
with. Exactly. And that darkness, I think, that characterization, though, is spread across multiple different characters in the movie. Like, I don't think that the role that character plays completely disappears in the movie.
It's just spread to different.
Yeah.
Okay. I see that.
This is a very late time to say this, but if you haven't read the short story, major trigger warning for racist language.
That's right. Stephen King
Stephen
pulls
King.
A typical.
This is a 34-page short story, and they drop the N-word twice.
They do.
So if you, yes, I know.
Why
it's
does
shocking.
Stephen King
it
do this?
It comes out of nowhere, and it is unjustified,
yes.
I would say. So
he really can't help. But put it in every single.
So if you're listening to us talk about this and you're like, I should read the short story, just so you know, just so you're prepared. Yeah, that's a jump scare in itself.
And of course, if you're going into the short story blind, like we mentioned, child abuse is a thing.
Oh, yes.
Also, you're reminding me of my notes from the book. The characters are from Fresno.
They are?
Yes.
Like you?
Yes, like me.
Didn't we talk about this on another episode too? We talked about restaurants and going to Fresno.
Yes.
I think.
But yeah, the characters in the book are from Fresno. Which is like, I want to know why.
Isn't somebody else from Fresno in the Stephen King verse? Isn't it like Annie?
She's from Bakersfield.
Oh.
Similar. Yeah.
Sorry.
He loves the Central California.
He loves Maine and he loves Central California.
Yeah. Which, speaking of Maine, in the film, they go to move, the kids go and move to Maine to live with their aunt and uncle, mm-hmm. which, if you're new to Stephen King, bro loves Maine. He mentions Maine all
bro
the time.
Bro loves Maine.
He's from Maine. He loves representing Maine.
Yeah.
It's a thing. So, kind of going into the end a bit, because, like we've said, it's very different.
Things get juicy.
Yes.
I loved the Bill art, personally.
Really?
I did not expect it.
No.
But I thought it made sense. And I thought Theo James crushed it.
He did great.
In his weird little child suit.
Yes. So, you want to explain the child suit? We keep mentioning it, but we haven't actually talked about it.
It means a lot to me. So, Theo James in his villain arc. I should use his character name. Theo James does not do this. Bill, in his character arc. So, he keeps the suit that he wore to his mother's funeral. Because, basically, he's so traumatized after his mother's death. He's in complete denial about it. And he figures out that it's because of his brother that his mother died because of that stupid monkey. But he's like, oh, you can wish death on people via monkey. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kill that man for taking away my mother. There is a lot of tension there. I feel like throughout the movie, like for some, they don't act like brothers, even though they are twins. Neither of them look like Theo James, I'd say.
No. The kids, no.
I thought the kids looked alike, or I thought the Theo Jameses looked alike.
I would think that Theo James would look like himself, but yeah.
But anyway, so, yeah, he can't accept the death. In the funeral, like Tess already mentioned, he gets up and he's in complete denial. He's like, Mom, wake up, wake up. And he keeps this suit for so long. When he finally gets the monkey again, he re-sews his childhood funeral suit from his mother's funeral into a new suit that fits him and looks sick.
That's one word.
He's got a flame. What's that thing called? The thing that goes on
here.
So
he had a shirt from the 90s, a very 90s flame shirt. Yes. And so he sews it to be part of this new fit.
Yeah. And then he modifies the suit, but he keeps the sleeves and the pants short.
Yeah. So
and he just has his mullet.
As a kid, he would refuse to take this funeral suit off because so far the babysitter and his mom have died and he's like, well, what's the point of taking it off because I'm just gonna have to go to another funeral again.
Right. Very which he's edgy. Not wrong about actually.
So that's why it's significant. That's why the funeral suit's significant. Oh, yes. Yeah. Anyway.
And it's great when he has his little makeover moment and then he steps out and he's wearing this.
And then it's the glasses.
The glasses. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Honestly, the movie started picking up right there.
That was fun. Yeah.
And it was already pretty good, like pace-wise, but I was paying attention.
Yeah. Me and Disembodied Voice kind of talked about how.
You both didn't like Bill.
No, that's not where I was going.
Oh.
How it kind of, after the aunt's death, slowed down. Oh. A little bit, oh. The pace did, okay. But then I feel like that's when it started picking up.
We didn't even talk about the aunt's death in the movie.
No. Do you want to get into the aunt's death?
They do call back to the book with the Christmas lights. So what happens the book, yes, at one point in the book, Aunt Ida asks Hal to go down into the basement, I think, somewhere, and get out the Christmas lights. But while down there, Hal finds the monkey again. And right, he gets so freaked out by this that he lies for the first time ever to his aunt. So he lies to his aunt for the first time that he couldn't find the lights. And it's like a little beat in the book that he's like, I never lied before. And she could tell I was lying, but she let me get away with it because she didn't know I was scared. Or she did know I was scared. She didn't know why. And then in the movie, what happens with the aunt is she is down in the basement. She walks up the stairs fall out from under her.
Oh, that's right.
And she falls into what? Christmas lights. And then
they're fish hooks.
They're fish hooks? I thought they were Christmas lights.
No,
oh my
gosh. Fish hooks.
I literally was like, no, because they were like colorful. I think it's just because I read the short story in my head. I was like, Christmas lights.
Those were definitely not okay. Christmas lights.
Spreading misinformation on the internet. It was fish hooks. Okay, so it's completely unrelated. I swear I thought it was
like,
about.
There's a shot of the fish hooks hanging on the wall, like right before she's heading to the basement, and that's what she.
LOL, spreading misinformation on the internet. That's this episode.
But basements exist in both versions.
Okay, so it actually has nothing to do with the other. Me explaining my elaborate theory now has nothing to do with. No wonder you were confused. You were like, what is she talking about? Anyway, so she falls into fish hooks. She falls into a bunch of fish hooks. And she's like, oh my gosh, that hurts so much. That's what she says.
Yeah.
Misinformation.
That's a line straight out of the movie. Yeah.
And then she goes upstairs. She puts rubbing alcohol on it. And then she smells gas coming from her stove, which I thought it was going to be a carbon monoxide thing and the whole thing was going to be lit up. That's not what happened. What happened was she smells the gas on the stove.
She's like, why would she put her face that close to the stove?
I simply would never.
No, that's crazy.
She walks up to the stove and after just putting rubbing alcohol all over her little cuts from the fish hooks, Not Christmas lights. She checks out the stove, and obviously a flame emits from it and lights her head on fire. She's freaking out. She runs outside. She runs.
As you do.
As you do. You open the door. She runs straight out and runs into the wooden post advertising her house that is for sale.
Pretty crazy.
It's an intense.
Very but Final Destination vibes.
Yes. I still think, though, it wasn't as intense as the bees.
No. No.
One of our, I don't know if you have this in, on our questions at the end, but we should do a your favorite death from the movie.
Okay, we can talk about
there are
about
so
it.
Many.
But yeah, so this is some new lore that is not given in the short story. In the film, Bill explains that whoever turns the monkey key is basically immune to death, which is relevant.
Do you think that's
somehow
true, or do you think that's just what Bill says?
I don't know.
Bill his kind of just decides things.
Literally, his reasoning for things makes no sense in my brain.
Oh, really? I think it makes sense because Hal never dies, and Hal's always the one twisting it.
Is that his reasoning?
That's my reasoning.
Because he's like, well, Hal hasn't died.
Therefore, the person who twists the key dies. But he should, you know, all this could have been cleared up if Hal had just told him, no, I wasn't trying to kill Mom.
What?
That's true. See, this leans into your theory. Dude, Emerson's got this movie on lock.
I'm glad you do, because I don't. I don't.
That's a good point. I forgot whatever I was going to say.
Well, basically, let's dive into the ending, because...
Oh, yeah.
So basically, Bill calls up Hal in the film, and he's like, you need to bring Petey to me, because Petey needs to turn the monkey key.
Because he thinks he can kill his... No, and this still makes sense to me, because Bill's thinking, okay, the son killed parent, right? By being the one to turn the key. He wants Hal dead. Therefore, he needs his son to turn the key.
Okay.
That's what I thought was going on.
I didn't make that connection, but I do get it.
Okay, what were you going to say?
Well... The thing is, I was like, well, why does he need Petey to do this? That's what, that was my question. I didn't think of it that way. Hal, or Bill, probably knows a lot of people in town, and that's why all these people keep dying before Hal.
That makes sense.
But Petey would only know Hal in that general vicinity, and therefore Hal would be the target.
That does make sense.
But that's the thing, we're doing
both work.
We're doing these mental gymnastics to put it together, and I don't know if our theories are correct.
I want to ask now. I'm really, because I feel like both of the theories we just said work.
Yeah. Basically, that was kind of my problem with the ending, was all these like questions that were kind of taking me out of it. I was like, well, what's his reasoning for doing all this?
It is like, a challenge, I think, for a lot of modern horror movies to really stick the landing with a lot of the lore they set up in the first and second acts.
Yeah.
It
felt a bit scrambled. Like the way
it's a mystical monkey. Like, I don't think they would be like, this is exactly how it works. Also, I think that
well,
Bill
that's
is
fine.
Wrong.
I'm fine. I don't need like detailed explanations to how this monkey works. I just was like, it kind of seemed, it just, I didn't see the point of needing to get Petey involved. That's what I was like, did I miss something in his phone call to Hal? Am I missing something?
To your theory, to both of your theories about, Hal is the only one that Petey knows in town, and Bill doesn't know that there's Ricky. But Bill also knows Hal, and knows that Hal's in town. So, by that theory, why couldn't Bill just turn the key and kill Hal?
Well, that was part of it, was like, well, Bill, we're assuming, has lived in this town. Hal has moved on, living his life elsewhere.
Wherever
Bill seems like, Bill to me has the vibe of someone that stayed in his hometown and didn't leave. And so therefore it makes sense that he would know a lot of the people in town. we're really trying to like make a theory here based on clues.
I feel like mine's strong. I don't know what y'all are talking about.
He was trying, though. He was trying to turn the key and he wasn't dying because other people were.
Yeah, other people were dying first.
Right. I guess he was like, well, maybe. But
maybe
that's
we
why
need more
I
of a connection
my,
to...
I'm sticking with my theory that he thinks that the son kills the parent. And that's how that relationship dynamic works.
But
because
he doesn't say that at all.
I know, but that just made, that's what I inferred. That's just what made sense. That I got to that conclusion before getting to the one y'all got to. I was like, oh, it's because, like
that could, if that was Perkins' reasoning, I feel like he could have easily explained that in one of Bill's like inner monologues.
It's possible. He could have explained something. If you would like to reply to our podcast, we would love to hear from you.
Please, I want to know your, and to be fair, listeners and viewers, we just saw this a couple hours ago, and maybe there are some brand new Reddit theories that we don't know about, but as it stands, the ending was a bit too all over the place for me. And it's like things were written for the sake of driving the plot forward, but didn't feel natural, is what I'm trying to say. Like the existence of Ricky, like forcing them to go to Bill's place, needing to get Petey involved. Also, Ricky wants Petey to get the monkey for him because he wants the monkey back. And so that's why Petey ends up going into Bill's lair, even though Hal doesn't want him to. Oh, a lot of characters.
Hal doesn't want Petey to go into Bill's lair.
Yeah, he's like, he's like, heck no. He's like,
don't send my son in there.
He's like, I will not send my son in there. Are you crazy, Bill? And then Ricky shows up, somehow knows where they're staying, and knows what hotel they're staying in.
I'm trying to think, is there any plausible way that Bill could have given that information to Ricky?
How would Bill know where they're staying?
They do move motels.
Exactly.
After the woman in the pool
dies. A lot of
dies.
Motels. A lot of, and even, yeah.
What's crazy to me is like, and I'm happy they didn't take this angle, but I'm surprised they didn't. Like, or they kind of hint at it. Like, death follows Hal everywhere.
Yeah.
He immediately checks out of a motel as soon as that woman dies. Why are the police not like, this dude is doing
That's
something.
That's what I thought, especially after the brother died. I was like, surely
after the
police.
Realtor, or not realtor. What's her name? What's she do?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Why did they not question him more?
Yeah. A gun killed her.
Yeah. They were like, you didn't touch the gun. And he's like, no. Witnesses. And then they instantly believe him.
That is not making sense.
Crazy. I'm like, if people keep dying around this guy, maybe, I mean, we know he's not the cause, but I'm sure other people would jump to that.
Was the most suspicious of any death that he escaped.
Which one?
The motel exit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because if you're instantly leaving.
He leaves immediately and checks out of the motel.
Yeah.
Guilty.
If you're like a cop and you see this.
An exploded
body. I don't even know. How do you reason that?
I guess it's because it's so obvious. Yeah, this leads into the whole accident theory. Because it's such an obvious accident that you cannot prepare for. It's something electrical falling off
the
roof.
But the real estate one wasn't. That one, I'm like,
well, they do kind of put, they're like, don't leave town.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's true. But yeah, so the movie ends with Hal and Petey kind of accepting their fate as these, they're going to basically hold on to the monkey and make sure it doesn't get into the wrong hands. But in the short story, as I mentioned in the synopsis, it's completely different. Hal drops the monkey into the lake, which causes a big storm to happen and almost killing him.
Yes, there's no lake.
Yeah, there's no lake scene, but they get rid of the monkey in that version. In the filmed version, they keep the monkey, and it's, like we mentioned, just accepting death.
I think that's effective for the movie, for what the movie is trying to convey.
Yeah.
It's a different choice, and I think both make sense for both stories. Because one, I think, is about letting go and learning to, like, focus on your kids.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's like, I need to swim back to Petey. I can't let Petey see his father die out here.
Yeah.
And then the other one, obviously, is that they learn to keep and live with the monkey and mm-hmm. grow beyond.
Both are very effective endings. But that, in a jumbled mess, is the plot of both versions. And the...
That's the monkey.
Any final thoughts that you want to convey before we move on? I hope we explained everything correctly.
I feel like we skipped a lot of things. We kind of, sorry, this is very much a download post movie. I feel like a lot of the time we have, because the movies we watch have been out for a long time, we're able to digest the analysis in a more cohesive way. So
there's
a lot
of videos to watch too.
I imagine this particular episode is probably going to be a lot more effective for people who have just watched the movie mm-hmm. and like recently watched the movie. So if you haven't yet, please go watch the movie and this whole episode will make a lot more sense.
Yeah, like we said, it just came out like yesterday. We just watched it this morning. And there's probably going to be a lot of analysis coming out soon.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So we tried our best to give you an idea of what the short story is like. But if you're still like, what the heck are these girls even talking about? It's really short. Go read it if you want to.
But I would be interested to hear what people think who haven't read the short story of what they think of just the movie.
Yeah.
Because for me, I felt like a lot of, like, it was easy for me to make certain understandings and come to certain conclusions about what was going on. But I don't know that it necessarily would be the same for every viewer who is not familiar with the source material. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, talking to some people that have already seen it, people really like the film. And if that's the case, the short story is very tonally different, like I said, so you're not gonna be getting like some funny ha-ha moments.
It's different.
It's the deaths are more real and tragic, and it's definitely a family drama. A lot of internal battles within Hal.
Yeah, but you know, get an audiobook from your local library and give it a listen.
Check out Skeleton Crew.
Or read a book like a real adult.
Even though...
I love audiobooks, sorry.
Yeah, I'm like, we listen to audiobooks here.
Yeah.
We utilize audiobooks.
Alrighty. Just ingest media, and our pod will be happy.
Yeah. So, speaking of which, what do you prefer, the film or the book?
Oh, gosh. The film.
It's very hard. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a great time. And I think that for the weaknesses that were present in the film, they took a lot of creative liberties and creative risks that really paid off. Whereas, I think the short story, while good quality, of course, is... a straight shot drama, like you said. I don't think, I think that what makes this story modernized and good and, like, you know, of importance to modern audiences is this particular film interpretation, like we talked about, and learning to live with grief. I feel like that's something that can be, that, you know, like we said, it means different things, but I thought that the film did a great job at some hard things, despite some weaknesses.
Yeah. I would definitely revisit the film. The short story is simple. There wasn't much where I like latched onto that I would want to revisit, I guess, if that makes sense. But the film, I'm like, I could definitely see myself rewatching it, even with my issues and questions and stuff. It still is a fun time. We didn't talk about the bees.
The bees. We do kind of have to talk about the bees.
So
Ricky shoots his gun. He has a gun.
Yeah, again, another thing where it's just like, he's like, he's scratching his head with the little pistol, which is like, why? This guy's so stupid.
And then, like, that's, you know, funny bit, haha.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, when he didn't die from that, I was like, oh, you got me.
Yeah.
Best jump scare in the movie, by the way, is when the realtor shows up. I wanted to make a note of that. Nothing is scarier in this movie. And when that woman in the red lipstick just jumps up and goes...
That was the thing, the only jump scare that really got us, I think.
So I jumped in the theater.
I saw you. But yeah, the bees. So he shoots the window accidentally and we see like the hole went straight to this wasp nest. And you just know what's going to happen at that point.
Well, you sort of do. I did not expect. Well, I mean, like, you know that the wasps are going to go attack him or whatever.
But not in that way.
Right. Yeah, not in that way. Basically, one by one, they speed out of their nest right through that little bullet hole in the glass and they go straight into that man's mouth.
Disgusting.
Down his throat, deceased. And then they start crawling out of his skin and out of his mouth and his face starts, you know.
Yeah.
I'm
just like, how did they all fit in there? And it's like, well, they didn't because they have to come out now.
Yeah, it's time to leave.
It's time to leave. This is not a hive.
Where is my queen?
Yeah.
This is not my nest.
Anyway.
That's what I'd be thinking if I was one of the wasps.
Alrighty. Well, that is all we have for the film and the book. All the differences. You ready for the this versus that? A lot of tease. Alrighty. So, this is kind of a me question.
Okay. Wait, why?
You'll see.
Drama?
The monkey versus Chucky.
Oh, now is the goodest time as ever to say I've never seen Chucky.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this question isn't good. Okay, the monkey versus Megan.
Oh, my God. Why would you do that to me?
I have to.
Oh, gosh. They're both so fun. I don't know. I had a great time watching Megan the multiple times I saw it.
You've seen it multiple times?
Yeah, I went to a few preview screenings before I actually... I saw it twice.
Oh, my
before,
God.
Before going to the actual Blumhouse screening.
Oh, tough choice then.
I've only seen the monkey once. I want to give the monkey more of a chance,
mm-hmm.
but Megan has characterization.
She is a character.
That's why we love her.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like I have to say Megan because of that.
Okay.
Because the monkey doesn't have sass.
No, he's just there.
The monkey, with his little drums. I mean, that's the whole point of the monkey, is he is kind of indiscriminate.
Yeah.
Whereas Megan has a point to be made.
She has an agenda.
She has an agenda.
Yeah.
She has and a purpose. I respect a woman in power. So for that, I have to go with Megan.
You don't respect a monkey in power? That's crazy. Wow.
I don't know.
Cymbals versus drum. What did you prefer?
Oh, well, is I don't care an option.
Sure. I'll take that for this one.
I just think that, like, it works either way.
Yeah.
I will say, like, cymbals is, like, I'm pretty sure that's the actual toy that it's based on. So, like, I feel like...
COG.
Probably that. However, I said earlier, I have no problem with the drum. I think it's a solid percussion adaptation that performs the functions necessary for the character. So I am pretty neutral.
Okay. I will say, I was wondering why the little, what are the little...
The thing is not in its hand?
The drumstick?
The stick you put on the drum? The drumstick?
The drumstick, why does it spin in his hand?
I thought that was cool.
What's the point? It's a little trick.
People do that. Yeah. That's me doing the trick.
I thought the trick, all you needed was, that's a trick right there, banging the drum.
No, it isn't. It's not cool.
I think it's cool.
Rock on. Boom.
Oh, that's what he's doing? Bang. Like how drummers like spin it?
Bang it. Yeah, that's what the monkey's doing.
He's rocking out.
He's rocking on. Ours is.
All right. You said you haven't seen Long Legs.
That's correct.
So this next one doesn't work for you.
Yeah. Am I being a problematic co-host? I haven't seen two of the movies that are referenced so far.
I was going to ask the monkey versus Long Legs, but...
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
So I would go with the monkey. Long Legs, I mean, in both versions, I have issues with some choices. And I will say that's probably why Osgood Perkins hasn't stood out to me as like a... iconic horror director that I'm excited to see.
Wait, you feel like the monkey doesn't have purpose?
No, I felt like it had some issue, like confusing things.
Oh, it wasn't like a straight line.
Wasn't as strong. It wasn't like a strong script mm-hmm. for me. Neither was Long Legs. There were some things where I'm like, I probably would have changed this or whatever. That's just me. And because a movie has not been solid for me, I can't bring myself to say he's like a top director like I would say an Ari Aster is or a Jordan Peele is, because he hasn't had that movie yet for me that has really like pulled me in and like I've grasped onto, if that makes sense.
Okay, but I do think we should assess the quality of a screenplay versus the quality of an adaptation a little differently. As we've already talked about, I think that he does a good job of adapting a story that might not have as much cultural relevance.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Very effectively. Even though I see what you're saying about some of the weaknesses in the story.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't think to compare something like The Monkey to an Ari Aster movie just because it's like...
No,
you know what I'm saying?
What I mean is like Ari Aster, Jordan Peele... Robert Eggers, they all have that movie that like really...
But none of those are adaptations.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not going off like
adaptations. You're going off Long Legs.
I'm just going off those films that they've written, directed.
Oh, okay, got it.
Like Ari Aster loved Hereditary, loved Get Out, loved Nosferatu, what The Witch, whatever. Like there was something that... A movie that I grasped onto that made me excited for their future stuff. And what I mean is that Osgood Perkins, he's had a lot of popular horror movies come out lately, but none of them have really made me latch onto him as a director that I'm excited for, is what I mean. I'm not saying he's not good at adapting. Like we've said, we really like this movie and it's fun. But some of the weaknesses I just hold on to a bit, and I can't like look past them.
I need to watch Long Legs and report back.
Yeah. Anyway, that is our episode.
Wait, favorite death?
Favorite death. I think the bees is probably my
the
favorite.
The bees is shocking. I'm trying to think if there's... You know, I did like the vape death.
The vape... I forgot about the vape death. You want to explain the vape death?
Well, a man inhales his own vape.
Yeah, so Hal works at a grocery store and his manager or whatever,
his manager
sucks.
He's
a vapor. Vapor? What are they? What do people call that vape?
Vapist.
Vapist? A man who vapes. The one who vapes.
The one who vapes.
He vapes and it gets like lodged in his throat.
Yeah. He like, it's crazy. The monkey's like, that one.
Yeah. And you just see it like sticking out of his neck and it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that's a good one.
That's my second death that I thought was effective.
Yeah, the other ones were very silly. Like more silly. No, yeah, I would say they're more silly. And for some reason, the bees and the vape really.
I wonder like how they came up with some. I mean, honestly, like the succession of events in Aunt Ida's death, I was like, I would never come up with that.
No.
I don't know how they came up with that. I feel that way about the bee through the bullet hole death into the mouth.
Yeah. As soon as you see the wasp nest, though, you're like, something's gonna happen with that, but you don't know what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very creative when it comes to killing off characters.
That's why Osgood Perkins needs to do a Final Destination.
I will say, however, the tagline that I saw in a lot of places was like, everybody dies in the monkey.
I literally thought everybody was going to die.
I believed them. I thought literally everybody was going to die. And I was expecting them to like get in a car crash as they were driving away. I fully thought that everybody was going to die.
What if it would have ended with like, you just hear the monkey drum, like bang his drum, and then it cuts to black. And you're like, what the heck is going to happen?
You should pitch it. You should pitch it.
The
to
monkey
Osgood.
Too.
Yeah. You're like, hey, I've got an idea for you guys.
Hey. Let's do another one.
Let's do another one, but one shot is different. Director's cut, but Tessa's cut.
The Tessa's version.
It's the same movie with one additional shot.
It's so stupid. anyway, join us for our next episode. We're going to be starting our series on Rosemary's Baby. We're going to have a special guest on. So read the book. We're going to be checking out the movie
Seriously, read the book. It's very good.
One of the best horror novels, truly. And yeah, there's also the TV show we're going to be covering. So a lot of Rosemary's Baby content coming your way. Follow us on at Dreadful Digest Pod on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, wherever. And yeah, we'll see you next time. And there's the monkey again.
That's the ending you wanted, right?
Yeah.
Boom. Oh.
Bye.